Johnson, and welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn radio show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am so happy and very thankful to be joined for these segments to kick off our show on this special Major League Baseball Playoff Wednesday by none other than the youngest man, the youngest living player from the Negro Leagues, Mr. Dennis Bose Biddle. Welcome back, Mr. Biddle. Welcome, everybody who's listening. Very special treat here. Again, in honor of the playoffs, in honor of the Negro League statistics finally being included with Major League Baseball, and also a small way, a shout out to my dad, whose birthday was yesterday, who is also a pitcher. Mr. Biddle, before the break, I was talking to you about the fact that you are known as the man who beat the man who beat the man. Please explain, because this is really cool.
Yeah. And 1950, my second professional baseball game was pitched at Racine, Wisconsin at O'Hallock Field. And I was pitching against a legendary pitcher named Gerald Lefty McGinnis. He had been in the league for a long time, and I was pitching against him, and I was winning the game. And I won the game 3-1. At the end of the game, the manager, Ted Double Do the Rector, walked up to me and said that Mr. McGinnis was one of the very few pitchers to ever beat Satchel Paige. And Satchel Paige was known in Negro League as the man.
Yes.
So, one of the players, Clyde McNeil, said, "Hey, Biddle, you just beat the man who beat the man."
I
so
love
they
it.
They nicknamed me as the man who beat the man who beat the man.
I love that, Mr. Biddle. Yeah, that's a good one. I think you can legitimately claim that you could go toe-to-toe with Satchel Paige and probably beat him, sir. That is an impressive statistic, one that is not recorded in the record books, but an impressive statistic nonetheless. Before I let you go here, Mr. Biddle, I wanted to also share with the listeners, all you folks out there listening, that after your baseball career, sir, you devoted your life to public service. Tell folks a bit about that.
Well, I went to college and became a social worker. And I worked for the state of Wisconsin 24 years as a social worker, and I retired. I worked 13 of those years with the Ethan Allen School for Boys. Where Ethan Allen School for Boys is where I loved that job because I had an opportunity to give some of my history to young people that had messed up a little bit in their life. And I felt I was helping them out. So I'm grateful for that time I spent with Ethan Allen at Ethan Allen School. And I helped a lot of young people, even today. A lot of young men come by the mall where I am. Mr. Bill, remember me? I don't remember them anymore, but they was a kid at Ethan Allen School, and they remembered me, and they would introduce me to their wife, their kids, and thank me for turning their life around. And that part of my life, I really I'm thankful for. Yeah.
And we're thankful for your service, sir, and for helping make today's baseball what it is. It wouldn't be what it is today without the Negro Leagues and without the contributions of men just like yourself. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, Mr. Biddle, for helping me celebrate my dad's birthday in this way, as well as the Brewers making the playoffs.
Yes.
You are a Wisconsin treasure, and I wish you the best. I will reach out to you because I'd love to talk with you more about the Negro Leagues if you'd be open to that, sir.
Right. I am open to it. Anytime.
Wonderful, folks.
There's so much more that's not has not been revealed, even with the stats. There are players living today, stats, well, I'll shatter some of the stats that they got, but they'll never know because nothing was written down about them. I had the opportunity to play with and against some of the greatest baseball players that ever played the game, and I'm thankful for that today.
I would love to talk with you about that more. I will be in touch. We will get that set up maybe so that we can celebrate a little bit more postseason baseball as the postseason goes forward. Folks, you can find Mr. Biddle's store in Mayfair Mall. They'll be back open on November 1st. You can find his book, all sorts of memorabilia at DennisBiddle.com. And you can follow him on Instagram at DennisBiddle. Thank you again, Mr. Biddle. All the best to you, sir. We'll be talking again soon. We're going to turn the page, folks, and we got to talk a little politics because, holy cow, that was an interesting debate last night. And I couldn't think of anybody better to talk about it with today than Sarah Spain. She is the Director of Strategic Communications at Emily's List. Prior to coming to Emily's List, she managed the reproductive rights vertical at Berlin Rosen, a communication consulting firm. She also worked as a fellow for Hillary for America. Welcome, Sarah. Thanks so much for spending some of your post-debate time with us here on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Thank you for having me.
What were your initial impressions? Because I immediately had a few. What did you, as the debate began, what were you thinking and feeling?
Where to start on this debate, you know? I think a lot of feelings. It was good to see Tim Walz up there against J.D. Vance. I think they just offered a very clear contrast to one another, which I think most people watching would agree with. Starting right off, J.D. Vance, you know, is getting in using eloquent language, but saying a lot of lies right off the bat. And I think we saw that throughout the entire debate. And I think his strategy really was speak eloquently while saying these lies, a little bit different than Trump in his debate. And so it did look a little bit different as we went through it. But again, the same lies that we saw on the stage with Trump, just presented a little bit differently.
We were maybe, 15, 20 minutes into the debate, and I'll tell you what I was experiencing was a deep sense of anxiety, like a sick pit in my stomach, because watching J.D. Vance, that is what authoritarianism, religious oppression, inequality, racism, and misogyny looks like when it's dressed up and packaged correctly. We have been, offered an opportunity with Donald Trump because he's so unpracticed, so unvarnished, and frankly, so bad at making the completely unpalatable and frankly disgusting. He can't make it seem anything other than disgusting in many ways. J.D. Vance can. That's what I was thinking. Like, we're looking at, if we are unable to sort of turn the page definitively in this election cycle, that's the next incarnation of a post-democratic United States. I mean, whether we're talking about J.D. Vance's bizarre brand of Christian alt-right nationalism, his bowing of the knee to the billionaire bros, or his embrace of these complete wingnuts that think we need to literally burn our government to the ground. He talks about this post-republic idea. And what he means there is not post-Republican in terms of party. He means the end of our democratic republic as we've known it. I was scared. But then I was heartened by this regular man, this regular guy who happens to be a politician. That's what I felt about Governor Walz. Like, here's a regular person who happens to be a politician, not a professional politician, not a professional snake oil salesman, right? I thought those differences were so stark. Here in Wisconsin, of course, we've got a different incarnation of this MAGA version or view of the world in Senate candidate Eric Hovde. And the commonality between him and J.D. Vance is they've apparently forgotten all of the times that they have said that they want abortion banned. Like, they've had this great amnesia. Sarah, your thoughts on this? Because the truth of the matter here is that these guys have extreme opinions on reproductive freedom and the individual's right to choose their health care in consultation with their family, religious leaders, and doctors.
Yeah, no, thank you for bringing that up. And I think you're absolutely right that the version of J.D. Vance that we're seeing kind of dressed up and hiding away some of these extremist, racist, you know, anti-women ideals is almost more dangerous than what we see with Trump, where it's very apparent. So I absolutely agree with you. And I think we are seeing this with J.D. Vance. We're seeing it with Eric Hovde. We're seeing it up and down the ballot across the country. And it all started after Roe was overturned. And, you know, we've had these elections where voters have come out in red states, in blue states, in swing states, saying we care about abortion, we want to protect it. And it's the majority of voters. And so Republicans aren't stupid. They can read a poll. And so they've been reading these polls, realizing that abortion for this election is going to be fought and won on abortion. And so they're out here hiding their, you know, very anti-abortion stances and very anti-abortion records from voters so that they can get the vote. But the reality is, once they're in office, we know exactly what they're going to do. And I think for us, we're lucky that we have the records of President Trump from his first administration. We have the records from J.D. Vance in Senate, and they're very clear where they stand. And so I think for us, especially at Emily's List, we have 34 days until the election, and we want to remind voters, it doesn't matter what they say on this debate stage. It doesn't matter what they're saying, you know, when they're talking about where they stand on abortion, look at their records. They're very clear. And I think that's kind of what we want to continue reminding voters.
It's so important. Again, I encourage people to check out Emily's List. You can avail yourself of some of the information that you all have gathered so that you can review candidates' records on reproductive freedoms. One of the tacks that they've taken, Sarah, is to sort of spin this as, well, of course we don't oppose fertility treatments. Of course, because we're pro-family, and they're sort of trying to put this really nice bow on all of this. But that's all garbage too. I mean, the courts are reaching conclusions that are inevitable and in the inexorable outcome of the declaration that life begins at conception. Your reactions to this sort of, not just dressing it up with nice words because it's J.D. Vance, right? The Ivy League version of MAGAism, right? But this particular tack that, oh, we're pro-family, and that means we want to support fertility treatments. They weren't talking about that 5 years ago at all.
No, they weren't talking about that. And, you know, I think my reaction is same as yours. That's pure BS. It's not true. It's not real. And I was at a watch party last night where, when J.D. Vance on the stage said, I want to be pro-family, I want to be pro-fertility, everyone screamed. And the reason being, he, for the first time when it was in Senate, voted against the IVF bill, and the second time didn't even show up for the vote. And the second time was when, you know, he was already on the ticket as the vice president. And so it's really clear where he stands. And to just put these words into the atmosphere of, oh, I'm pro-fertility treatment, I think Trump has been doing the same because he sees how important this is to people after the case in Alabama. But we know that that's not the truth. They've had the opportunity, Vance specifically, to vote on it and didn't. And so, again, looking at their records, so essential in these cases.
Yeah, where were you, JD, when we were trying to protect fertility treatments? You didn't take that vote. We've got more coming up with Sarah Spain, the Director of Strategic Communications at Emily's List. Because we're in the 2:30 block, we are always talking to Emily's List. If it is a Wednesday, you can mark your calendars by that. I'm Maggie Dawn. We'll be back in just a brief moment here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. What was your most infuriating moment of the night? I had a few. Back in just a bit. Don't mess around.